Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva of Days for Flies and Friends. This is Carrie. You can follow me on Twitter at Diva Abdul. You could check out our blog, divaabdul.com. There you can sign up for an e-newsletter and get a daily email on the latest updates from the blog. There's also a Google Plus page there. Facebook, Diva Days, and the fan page is Diva Days for Lives. Here on Blog Talk Radio, you can also follow us here, or you can also subscribe to our iTunes page. And tonight we have Rose.
Hi.
Hey, we have Miss Anna.
Hello.
Hi. So, Rose, I know you're not going to stick around too long. Let me Pizza Hapka real quick. At Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka, it's our friends on Twitter, and their son, at Mark Hapka, has been tweeting because he has a new movie coming out. So I'll follow Mark, too, and go check out his movie. And, and Rose is going to be your birthday girl on Monday, so happy early birthday.
Right. Happy birthday, Rose. You're 21st
birthday. My 21st, that's right, my 21st.
Uh-huh. How many of those have you had now?
We won't say.
Okay.
So what do you want to talk about tonight, Rose?
Me?
Yeah.
There's only a couple of things that really happened, right?
One big thing.
We watched all of 2 weeks, and all that really happened was EJ died, and Jennifer had a really bad shirt on.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. I knew you were going to, and I was hoping you would anyway. Oh, gosh, that was awful.
I thought it was a dress at first.
Oh, That was the worst.
I don't know. And then it looks like Eve is trying to give Jennifer a run for her money on her wardrobe, because that dress she was wearing on Friday is cute, but a little loud. She definitely wore it well, though. But, yeah, Jennifer's shirt had to go.
Yeah, I totally forgot to tweet you about that. It was just that bad.
It was so bad.
I love
Days, and I love the actors. I love them all, and I hate picking on Jennifer, but really,
she had it coming.
She has it coming. It's just sorry, and they all did a superb job the last 2 weeks. They really did. I think that everything was just above par. It was such a good 2 weeks to watch. I was anxious to see every episode. It was really fun. I enjoyed it. I looked forward to it every day. So it was really good. And everybody on the show did a great job. And Kate's outfit on Friday was gorgeous. When is it not? But it was
the pink. Was it the pink one?
The pink one, yeah, with all the jewels.
Oh, yeah. That
was like a necklace. Yeah.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
She stunning. She looks really cute with Clyde.
Oh, yeah.
So cute.
Yeah, I like Kate and Clyde.
Yeah.
I like the
too.
Fortune cookie. Yeah, the fortune cookie was awesome. That was cute.
Yeah, that was funny. It's only naughty if you get caught doing it or something like that.
I said, have fun, and it's only naughty if you get caught.
I love watching these guys.
Yeah, there was a lot of the shows that I cried at. I mean, I don't even cry to the show usually. I usually don't, but I did. There were a lot of them where I was crying. And I just think it was so good.
The writing was great. The acting was great. Everything. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have not deleted any of those last, any of the last 2 weeks of episodes on my DVR, and I've actually gone back and watched them again and again. They're that good.
Wow. Yeah.
They're that good. So yeah, if you missed any of them, I highly recommend somebody, if you missed them, get over to NBC.com and watch every episode, because it's just don't miss. And what did you think of Kristen at the end of that scene there on Monday?
Yeah, with the needle. What was up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that? Because I don't know. I mean, I think,
She still seemed to be mourning him later in the week.
And Stefano made it clear.
Stefano made the comment that he wanted to bury, like, basically have him buried with his other, with the Damaras or whatever.
Yeah, Stefano made it plain and clear that he was with the rest of the family now, which is, you know, so he was buried. Stefano had him buried. But why the needle? I mean, my problem with that is not, it doesn't have anything to do with death or whether he's dead or alive. My problem with that is if EJ was dead, that needle, everything in that needle going into the bloodstream, there isn't any left. So it's not, the heart isn't pumping. It can't move anywhere.
I don't understand
why you would even bother. It's not going to bring somebody back to life, and it's not going to preserve the body. So,
yeah,
I don't see what the point was.
Well, I mean, Jennifer did survive without a heart for quite a long time.
Oh, don't remind me of that episode. I think that's where I really lost touch with Jennifer and Daniel. Oh my gosh.
I mean, you know, she doesn't have any brain damage at all, and she was there without art for, like, hours.
Wasn't it days on our TV?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was days, but, yeah. I don't know what the point of that was either. I mean, obviously, they cremated somebody other than EJ or else that's the sand in there or something, but... I don't know. I don't get what the whole needle. I don't know if the needle thing was just to throw the Jammy fans a bone that, hey, maybe he'll come back someday or something.
And it wasn't like she was taking DNA from it. She was injecting. She wasn't taking it out.
I was wondering if she was taking something, too. I actually thought about that,
too. Yeah, when she first did, I thought she was going to take DNA to clone him, you know, like they cloned Race.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't. She was injecting. So I don't. And that injection couldn't have gone anywhere in the body. It was dead. So I don't understand what the point was of that.
Yeah, I don't either.
That was probably the only thing I had a problem with.
Unless it was meant to start the heart again, but that would flow anyway. Then who did Stefano bury? Yeah, I know.
I mean,
yeah,
Stefano buried somebody. So
I haven't been on Twitter or anything most of the week or anything. What were people speculating on?
Oh, it goes everywhere from he's dead to his they're bringing him back to life. And I mean, honestly, I'd love to see it where Sammy gets on that plane with the kids and there's a chair and it turns around and it's him holding a whiskey glass. But I just don't think it's going to happen that way. I think that he's dead.
Yeah. Well, he certainly was dead for a long time in front, you know, while she was laying all over him and everything. So I don't know. So I don't know how they could revive him again, you know. But oh well, you know, it's soap opera as well, you know. Maybe they're going to send him to the Crichton, the Crichton Center or whatever in Port Charles or wherever that is.
Port Charles, yeah. Or
whatever town
to
it's in New York. Yeah.
But Kristen would have had to do that behind her father's back because Stefano thinks he buried him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and she was acting like she was mourning his death, too.
Yeah.
Because she even said to herself,
There's also a speculation that it wasn't Kristen, that it was Susan dressed as Kristen that did that and took her EJ home. So, I mean, there's all kinds of speculations out there, which is great because nobody really knows, and that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good way to go out.
That keeps the suspense. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
So... There's all kinds of stuff out there, though.
There's some really interesting ones
out there. Yeah, there's some good ones. Like I said, I think it would be awesome if all we saw was a hand with a glass of whiskey saying her name and her just melting, you know, as she gets on the airplane to leave town.
Uh-huh.
But did anybody see the spoiler for next week, though? There's a picture out there. I don't know where I saw it, but there's definitely a, I don't know. I think it was in my magazine that I get in the mail, but of Sammy, she gets arrested.
Yeah, at the end of this week, there Kate was saying something about how Sammy really screwed things up and she's getting arrested,
mm-hmm.
but she could be arrested and she doesn't want to go down with her. So I don't know what Sammy did.
I guess she gets arrested in front of Allie and Allie's screaming about it. So.
Oh, great.
It's wearing the same clothes Allie was wearing on Friday, so it's got to be Mondays.
Speaking of Allie, are they going to keep Allie with Lucas and his
American? I don't know. And what's going to happen to the kids? I mean, if Sammy, being arrested, I mean, I know she gets out and Kate helps her and stuff, but if she were to go to jail or anything else, would Stefano get the kids? Would Kristen get the kids? Would Chad get the kids?
Yeah.
I mean, is that how Kristen goes out? Does she take the kids and leave town? And Allie, does she stay with Lucas or does she, you know, what happened?
Yeah.
It was precious of Allie,
though. The Joey twins are definitely gone.
I know they're gone,
new job.
So they've got to leave town somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to leave town somewhere. Sydney and Johnny have got to leave town somewhere. Although I still hold out hope that Sydney is actually Chad, but that's just because she's so cute. But I think that would be cute. I mean, because Sydney could still be Chad, that Grace and Sydney switch thing. I mean, babies are switched all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she could still be Chad's and come back to Salem with Chad. I think that would be cute. But I know that they're gone. I don't know about Allie, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know it was
cute.
I know
it's
it was
sad.
So
I've loved
sweet of
those
her.
Kids. I've loved those kids. We've all loved those kids for so long.
Allie and Johnny weren't looking like twins very much anymore, though.
I know. She's about a foot taller than he is.
At least, yeah. She looks like she's two or three years older than him.
Look, the irony is not lost on us that E.J. was about a foot taller than Lucas, so it kind of is in the reverse. It's almost like, is Allie really E.J.? And Johnny really...
Yeah, you got that too.
Anyway.
Allie was so sweet, though, on Friday, begging her daddy to... take care of Johnny and Sydney.
Oh, I know. That was so sweet. And I love the scenes
with
Lucas.
That was another tearjerker.
The Loomy scenes were awesome. The Loomy scenes
were
awesome.
Yes, they were. They're
standing, so
sitting here talking to herself, saying, what am I going to do? And Lucas comes in and says, we're going to be there for you. It was just, I loved it.
Oh, I know. It was perfect. I'm so glad we had some Loomy scenes, too, before she leaves and everything. It's like,
Well, she's still got two more weeks on there, so.
How many
last
more?
Their last air date will be October 30th, so two more weeks.
Still can't believe it.
I know.
I like her chemistry with Chad. I really like her chemistry with Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see her anger at Chad?
Oh, yeah. I thought that could
be
hot. I mean, I know it's probably too soon for the Ajammies to think about that, but I was thinking, ooh, if she came back, Uncle Chad.
She came back mad and ready to do some business. Yeah, I was like, go Sammy.
I was saying, I could see this turning into something fun later on, yeah. I really like the new guy, Billy Flynn. He's really cool.
Yeah, I do too.
Did you enjoy interviewing him?
You know, I was stumbling for the first time in my life because I didn't think of what to say to him. I didn't get much in the way of questions from viewers, and, you know, I feel bad because I really wanted to. I really like him, and it was a lot of fun to be able to interview him, but I just didn't have any good questions lined up, so I felt bad because I don't think I did. That was definitely not one of my best interviews, sorry.
I was out of town, so I didn't even get to think of any for you.
That was definitely not one of my best.
He's really good.
He's such
a
sweetheart, though. I'll say that. Yeah. He's such a sweetheart. He's so nice. So, I think Lauren got him onto Twitter, too, so I don't remember what his name is, but I've got him on mine. I don't know what his name is off the top of my head. I think Carrie might know. But he's got a Twitter out there, I think. I'm sure.
Let me try to pull it up. I think it's on Billy Flynn or something like that. Yeah, Billy M. Flynn. That's what it is.
Yeah, Billy M. Flynn, that's it, yeah. And he's such a sweetheart. I highly recommend following him if you want to, Anna. He's really nice. So, I was so stumped. I mean, that's really the only thing that happened. Everybody revolved around EJ. And, you know, it was just it was such a good send-off, though, for a character. I mean, I loved it. Don't get me wrong, but the question I have in my mind is, shouldn't we have had such a big send-off for, like, Alice Horton? You know? But I like that everybody got a chance to interact with EJ before he died, and that afterwards everybody mourned, and everybody but Kate. Kate came back strong. That was cute.
You would think to see, I thought EJ's death was pathetic. I mean, he got shot by a Demir henchman because he punched a hit drug dealer.
He punched Clyde, yeah. What's up with that? He's been shot. How many times, Gary? How many times has the man been shot now?
Yeah, and it was so dumb. And on top of that, I had a hard time listening to James Scott's death scene. I couldn't make out what he was saying.
I rewinded that over and over again. And I believe he said, "You were worth everything."
Oh, okay.
I rewound that over and over so I could hear it. Yeah, he said, "I love you and you were worth everything." So... But you're right. My problem with that is he was shot in the head not that long ago and survived it and was out of the hospital in, what, 2 days?
Mm-hmm.
But you shoot him in the stomach and he's dead. I've always said that about Dave, though. Don't go in there with a broken arm. You will never come back out.
Yes, the destiny just didn't do it for me. It just seemed too random. And I think they could have just done a better job. They were spinning it up like going to be murder mystery.
The scene itself was really beautifully done. The scene itself was beautifully done. It was how he actually was killed. You know, the storyline leading up to
it. Yeah, it was
bad. That's what I had a problem with.
Yes, it was stupid and it was random. Even Sammy, when they just tell her the drug dealer, the druggie did it. It was just a robbery. And she's like, well, you're just killed by a drug dealer, you know, a druggie. And
the drug dealer who mysteriously OD'd the same day.
Yeah. Because the thing is, though, too, if they, you know, I mean, I don't know when the druggie died, but even if they, you know, did autopsy on the druggie, figure out when he died, he might have died before EJ died. Rafe should be a little bit suspicious.
It looks like Rafe is. Rafe seems to be there for Sammy and seems to be actually listening to Sammy because he knows he's been through it before with Sammy when Sammy was actually the one who shot EJ.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that he understands that Sammy's right. Why would they do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Sammy even used the same words you just did, but it was so random. This is not what I expected.
No.
Abby's the one who said that.
I don't care what Abby said. Actually, Taichi, I kind of just ignored her.
Yeah, Abby, I know you ignored her. Abby was talking to Shannon about it and was saying that this was so random and why, how can this happen? How can EJ die this way? This wasn't the way she ever expected him to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember her saying that, yeah.
Sammy mentioned the random part, too. I mean, she's furious that it's almost she feels like he died incomplete for no reason. Like if the guy was going to steal something, why didn't he just steal it and leave or whatever, or if he was going to...
If
it was going to be for some purpose, then, I mean, this just basically meant that there was, like, no reason for it. It was just totally random. And the end of the day, the guy that did it didn't even get away with anything, didn't even benefit from anything because he died too, you know, so.
And like, yeah, it may even be his ashes in that urn.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, that's a bit. Well, so, but
yeah,
anyway, so, yeah, Sammy's just really, I mean, freaking out about how random everything is and how it just, of course, it's not as random as they'd like to think, but anyway, so. Boy, and Clyde plays the good guy, bad guy really well, doesn't he?
Yeah, did you see the nervousness on that man when he sat at the bar and ordered himself a drink? Oh, he was like, give me a drink.
Which scene was that?
Right after EJ got shot when Clyde ran off.
He went straight to the bar
with Ben and
ordered
a drink.
Okay, I didn't see it
so
last
So he had
week,
an alibi because he was
up.
In public. He was in a public place. He had an alibi for when EJ died.
Gotcha.
See?
Gotcha.
He covered his tracks and then went and got
gotcha.
A beer or a whiskey, I think it was. Or I think it was, he ordered something dry.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And, yeah, I still have to go back and watch last week. I missed that.
He went and ordered a drink right after EJ died. Before he died, actually. I mean, they left EJ there dying, and went and ordered a drink so he couldn't get blamed for the shooting. And he's nervous about the henchman that really is EJ's henchman because he's a loose cannon. So I expect something to happen to him sometime soon.
Yeah.
Clyde's going to have to get rid of anything that's going to turn it to him.
Yeah, you know, it creeps me out too. It seems like everybody's still hanging out in the woods where EJ got shot. It's like, okay, he just got robbed and shot by a druggie.
He's like, oh, okay, hey, let's go in the Salem Park. Hey, let's have a picnic in the park.
Not only that, Carrie, but everybody seems to have cell service there except Sammy and EJ. Sammy needs to change their carrier or something. Because you know how Sammy was looking for a signal left and right on her phone?
Mm-hmm.
And then she tried EJ's, and there was no signal on his either. But Race and Abe both had signals immediately right there at the body. And Ben keeps getting texts from Abby there. And, oh, and JJ and Paige can get texts there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Sammy and EJ need to change their carrier.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of weird. I mean, I was disappointed with the death. The death was disappointing.
And it's also weird that, I mean, okay, normally they would just call a beat cop out for what Sammy had reported. They called Race, a detective. But Race is smart. See, he knew somebody was dying in those woods and made sure to bring the ambulance with him, too. I don't know.
Didn't do much good. They didn't even work on them.
Well, they did. They were putting their stuff. Everybody said they didn't do any work on them. I know that's not on Twitter, but if you go back to the scene and watch it, they had all of their equipment out. So while the cameras weren't on him, they must have been doing something to him because when they panned back to the EMTs, they were putting stuff back into their bags.
Oh.
So they had to have taken stuff out and worked on them, and we just didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they put stuff back into their bags. And, I mean, if they didn't do anything, they wouldn't have had anything out. So, to me, it looked like they tried, knew that didn't succeed, and they were packing things up. But while Rafe was talking to Sammy, they had taken their stuff out, and they were putting stuff back in the bag when we panned back to them, so...
It would have been awesome if Lucas came upon the scene and tried to give him mouth-to-mouth, going back to the scene years ago when they were in the sauna during the whole canteen summer.
Well, Sammy did mention that, though.
Oh, she did?
She did mention it.
Aww.
Yeah, but she said, she told Rafe that EJ scares her all the time, and she thinks he's dead all the time. And there was one time where she gave him CPR, and then Lucas gave him CPR, and then she made a comment like it was really funny. And she did.
Cool. They gave a shout out to that because that was hilarious. But then there were all these things about Ejukas.
And Sammy didn't think he was dead for the longest time.
Yeah,
that was so sad.
I better go back and
watch. He was alive.
Yeah.
She truly thought he was alive. She was really in denial. She knew he was coming back. Even when, oh my gosh, the worst scene for me, the one that really, really made me cry, was Sammy sitting there in the waiting room covered in blood and EJ's phone rings. And it's Stefano. And he wants to talk to EJ. And all she can say to him is he's in the morgue. And she hangs up the phone. And just the way Allison Sweeney portrayed that scene, and then Joe with the Stefano part, with him breaking down into tears over his son, that was definitely one of the scenes I lost.
I cried the entire week.
The whole week, but that was definitely one of the major ones for me. And then Sammy crawling up on top of EJ, I think we already talked about that. That was another big one when she crawled up. I don't know. I don't know if I could crawl up there against my husband in the morgue on one of those tables.
Mm-hmm.
That was just powerful. I don't know.
Her
listening to the heart,
her.
That's another thing. Huh?
Yeah. And then she put his arm around her.
Yeah, she put his arm around her. And before that, she was listening for the heartbeat. And I remember that part really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another crying part. She was sitting there trying to find the heartbeat because EJ does this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knew he wasn't dead. And she was looking for that heartbeat. And I think that's the moment that she realized he is dead. So... Oh, and we got two new sets this week. to change the subject off EJ, we got two new sets this week. Did you see them?
The new sets. No.
Two new sets. We got JJ's bedroom with Paige. Paige crawled into bed with him.
Paige
snuck into Jennifer's
that.
House. I have no idea how Paige got into Jennifer's house, but she got into Jennifer's house in the middle of the night and snuck into JJ's bed.
But the thing that was messed up is she just bought the pill that day. And you have to wait. You have to wait
a whole month.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to wait that long. But you to even start the pills, you have to wait till like the Monday after your period started. And when I almost 10 years ago when I had my son, I asked the doctor when I could start the pill, how long does it take to be effective? She told me only 2 days. So
2 days?
She told me, because I think, when I was younger,
that
it was
like
2 weeks. Yeah, she told me 2 or 3 days.
Anyway, we got JJ's bedroom, and then we got Johnny's bedroom with Sammy. That was another powerful scene right there. In Johnny's bedroom. The other question I have for you is they have there's a casting call out there for a baby to play a newborn. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
With Paige being as careless as she's being, what do you think?
That's the last thing I want.
Yeah, me
is
too.
Another young girl saddled with a baby. We already did that
but
with
the
Gabby.
Other one, the other one's having a lot of sex right now is Teresa and Brady.
Yeah.
That one I could go for.
That was a surprise, though. I wasn't expecting he was going to go there.
I didn't think so either. It just suddenly jumped into them having sex. I was like, whoa. That was fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could go for that one, though. And then, of course, the other people having sex right now are Ben and Abby. So,
yeah,
it could be a Ben Abby Chad triangle there. You know.
I just saw Marianne. Let me grab Marianne.
Yay,
Marianne, Marianne.
Hey, hey, Carrie, and Rose there too. I just thought I heard her.
And
hi,
Anna.
Everyone.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm. And Anna too.
Being a blabbermouth.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna too.
Oh,
yeah. Anna.
Oh my God! All four of us. What
yeah,
happened?
Yeah, all at the same time. What happened?
Whoa!
No football game today.
Oh, okay. Well, I had to work, so I made it.
Hey.
Hey. What's up?
We were just talking about who could be having the baby.
Who could be having a baby?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Did you see the casting call, Marianne?
What's that?
Did you see the casting call?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there's a casting call for a baby in October.
Oh, okay. That's
for twins to play a newborn. So we were thinking, we were trying to think of who it could be. I mean, because Ben and Abby are doing it, Teresa and Brady, which I actually like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, let's see, Ben and Abby, Teresa and Brady, and then JJ and Paige, which I do not want to see.
Okay.
But they did make a big deal about Paige and the birth control and all that. So
right. That is if she remembers to use it.
That's really where I'm going to have to leave, even though that's not what I want.
No. Nobody, you don't like Paige and JJ?
I don't mind them. I actually like them. I just, I'm not ready for a teenage pregnancy.
Yeah.
They shouldn't do that. They should actually show her, that she was responsible and used the birth control. That's what they should
do. Yeah, that I'd like to see, that she was responsible and did the right thing because she's smart and intelligent and knew what she was doing and she knew to prepare ahead of time. That would be awesome to know that she is not pregnant. But I don't know. I mean, we see this all the time on the show and I just, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't say who is having it. It's just speculation.
I mean, it could be just, for one episode, too. You never know. And there's definitely, the cast member, a character is having a baby. Could be.
Oh, yeah.
Stranger.
It could be anybody. I mean, it could be something that Daniel has to race to because the baby's being born. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that's on the show right now. Just a speculation. And it's, 5-6 months down the road? So I guess we'll know when somebody starts getting big.
Yeah, that is right. They're about, 5 months ahead now?
Almost 6, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Way too far still. I still think that's just way too far out.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about DJ stuff, Marianne?
Oh, okay, I was going to say, what did you guys discuss so far? Did you guys discuss that?
Well, the only thing that happened in the last 2 weeks was EJ died and Jennifer wore a bad shirt. And Paige is trying to get some.
Oh, yeah, EJ's death, yes. Well, I thought, first of all, that Allison Sweeney did a fantastic job.
For sure.
With her grief. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you what, she had me. And I don't cry too often. I love EJ, but, I mean, she had me crying. When she found him in the park and he was still alive and talking to her and she kept saying, I love you, trying to will him alive if she kept saying that over and over. And then when the paramedics were there and she says, just what did she say? Put the blood back or stop the blood from coming out or put the blood back.
Yeah, just stop the blood from coming out. That's all you have to do.
Please stop. Yeah, she was just her hysterics and then in the morgue. Oh, God, that was, when she laid down with him and said something about, she couldn't hear his heart and was listening for his heartbeat and couldn't feel his heartbeat. I have to say, James Scott did a good job playing a dead guy or a dead corpse. Mm-hmm. You know, just it looks like he was laying, or did it look like he had a little grin on his face? Like,
no,
like,
I rewound it. I did hear that on Twitter too, and I rewound
it
twice. He didn't. He did not change into a grin. I looked. I was.
It looked like he was like
a
little smile on his face, like, oh, thank God I'm leaving. But anyway, like,
no.
Finally, I'm out of this awesome show.
Didn't change. I looked for that. I had to rewind and keep looking. It didn't change, I swear. Because I saw that on Twitter.
But he did good at not. He did good not breathing. I was watching for his chest to, like, you know, no.
Oh yeah.
Pretty fast. Yeah, like he held his breath there pretty good. So.
Yeah, I don't know how he did that. He didn't move because we saw Allison Sweeney was laying on his chest. Mm-hmm. He didn't move. It was like, whoa, how'd you do that?
And they showed that for quite, they showed him laying there like for quite a while when she was talking to him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those. So what does that, did you guys say about, what do you think Krista, I mean, with that injection she gave him, and now Stefano has the body and it's not really EJ in the urn. He took the body away.
Yeah, we discussed it, but what do you think?
I don't know. He took it away. I don't know if he's going to try to. I mean, there's their out if he would come back.
Well,
like Stefano
said he
Stefano
buried him
brought
with
him
the
back
rest of the
life.
Family.
Stefano yeah, that's
said
what
he
said.
He buried him with the rest of the family.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And he said
yeah.
that to himself. It wasn't like he was even telling somebody else. He was talking to himself.
Yeah.
EJ
now,
was where
he
belonged now with
it
the
could have been an embalming thing that to keep up till he got him back to the, you know what I mean? Just to, he just took the body away, just like what a funeral director would do, embalm, you know?
Yeah, but my problem with that is where did whatever she injected him go? Because the part wasn't pumping. So
I don't know. Either that is, I say, maybe he's going to freeze him, and then he'll end up on General Hospital, and Victor Cassadine, him and Victor Cassadine will be unfrozen, and they'll both come back to life. So who knows? Yay, that would be fun to see them two together again, you know. Maybe, you know, so who knows. Or maybe Stefano will enlist Victor Cassadine's help. They could do a whole crossover thing there if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Yeah, if they wanted to, yeah, if they were smart enough. But Corday's not smart enough. Now, General Hospital writers and producers are, but not Corday. He's a complete idiot, so anyway. But, yeah, if they have the door open there, you know, I think if – I don't foresee James Scott coming back, but
I don't either.
No,
the most I can see happening to give us hope of an EJ leaving with Sammy would be his arm holding a glass as Sammy gets on a plane.
Yeah.
I mean,
now they
that
could surprise
be,
us.
That's my wish, but it's
and
not
be keeping
happen.
This secret, and they'll show at the end that they're really he's alive and they're now why couldn't
that's
they do
what,
this is my thing. Why couldn't they do that? Why do they always have to kill the good characters? Why, like, they killed Tony off. Why couldn't he just go away with Anna? They kill EJ off.
You know,
why couldn't they just give the fans a happy ending and then just send them off with their family?
I read the article, and it makes sense. EJammy was always a tragic love story. It makes sense that they would end in a tragedy after finding each other permanently. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, but it sucks. But it makes sense.
Yeah, it does give the actors, especially Allison Sweeney, a good storyline and to show their stuff. You know, that's one good thing. But yeah, that's the only thing that they always have to kill them off. But yeah, did you talk about? I just can remember the most from Friday, actually. With Lucas and Sammy, that was good. Nice to see Lucas come in to, you know, comfort Sammy and
the Lumi
Allie.
Scenes were absolutely awesome, and Allie begging Lucas to take care of Sydney and Johnny.
Yeah,
she still had
her dad and
pulling. Yeah,
yeah, and they don't. Yeah, that's good. And the part with Sammy and Johnny. When he thought he caused his dad's death because he didn't give him his lucky thing that he made for him, the lucky piece.
The lucky rock or something.
Like something, yeah.
Was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was tough watching Sammy have to tell them, except they really didn't, they kind of just pulled away from that and didn't really show that.
It was nice, though, to give Sammy and those kids a private moment that we didn't even hear. Because that was really a private family thing. The way they did it was really nice. We didn't have to hear it, but we knew what was happening.
Yeah. What did you guys think?
Can you imagine Johnny coming back with Sierra and Johnny being teenagers for next summer? Can you imagine the havoc they could cause on Salem?
Oh, yeah. Did you guys discuss Sierra and the whole Hope and Aiden
thing?
No,
we haven't gotten to Sierra yet at all.
Okay, though. Speaking of, she's something else.
Totally imagine Johnny coming back from boarding school that Kristen put him in because she got custody of the kid. And I could just imagine Johnny coming back during the summer teenage month, you know. And because we need younger teenagers, you know, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I can just imagine the havoc that Sierra and Johnny could cause on Salem.
I can't remember what it was, but the kid said something about Sierra. Do you remember what that was? Johnny said something.
Sierra cheats.
She cheats.
She's the one that cheats. Yeah, Sierra cheats.
They all jumped up there and said it at the same
time. They all
time.
Said Sierra. That's what it was, because they were playing a game. Okay. Mm-hmm. I knew there was something. Okay. Yeah.
And how about Will? Because we didn't talk about that stuff. Will, when he found out, he was really ragging on Sammy until he found out the truth. Mm-hmm. And then he comes crying, making sure she's okay. I mean.
Oh, yeah. He just thought that they were, like, mad at him for, you know, doing
that
article and all that. They didn't get over that.
Mad.
That's when they didn't show up for the kids' party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but him and his mother basically made up. And
yeah.
I like how different people, how everyone came, you know, and Sammy had her scenes with everybody. You know, her mom, her Marlena.
It was nice
grandma.
To see all the Bradys inside the De Niro house. You know,
yeah,
Marlena,
and then Eric came and Roman,
Caroline, Eric, Roman and Marlena were both
Marlena
there.
Marlena were there, mm-hmm.
And I actually loved Marlena, and that's a surprise.
that was her good scene with Sammy.
Oh, that was Kate. The scene
with Kate.
That was awesome. Marlena stood up for her daughter, Sammy, finally.
Mm-hmm.
You will not go bother her. She is finally sleeping. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's when Kate wanted to talk to her about business.
Yeah.
And Susan,
and then...
Because Marlena
Kate admitted to Chad that she was wrong and she shouldn't have insisted on trying to talk to Sammy then. And also, I like Chad and Kate's relationship too. They're always being just really honest with each other and really.
I still don't know.
Have a special dynamic there because she's the one that brought him into the family and kind of protected him at first and. Kind of helped him get into the Demira life and, you know, the family and all that. So it's kind of cool because they have a really interesting dynamic.
Yeah, but I still don't know if Chad is playing Kate. I don't know
who
he signs on.
We're not sure of that quite yet.
He's giving information
he's
to Stefano, and then he's giving information to Kate. And I did love the scene with just Chad. Just Chad and dead EJ. That was
and the urn.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
the urn. It wasn't even dead
Chad
EJ. It's dead.
Yeah,
dead
and
whoever.
He was really grieving. You know that when he said it's dead, you're dead to me. No, all the Demiras say that.
Yeah.
Every time they say that, one of them dies. So they'd stop saying it, but yeah. But he really was, you know, sorry that you know you could tell he was.
He was. He really loved his brother after all, and then the scene with Sammy,
telling him off and. And they kind of sort of came to an understanding, too. He apologized and asked if he had anything he could do. So those were good. They were all, everybody that she had scenes with, you know, she kind of more or less had scenes with everyone in the family.
And what's
both
up
sides
with
of the
Jordan?
Family. Oh, I don't know. Now, did you see the previews?
Chad's the same age as Chad's.
That's what I thought.
Age
Jordan
as Will
Cougar.
And Jordan's supposed to be in the group with Race and Sammy. If Sammy's the mother of Will, why is Jordan's robbing the cradle with Chad?
Yeah. I see a little bit more spark there than I do with Rafe, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but...
A little bit more. A little bit more than with, well, of course, anybody with further with Rafe, but... yeah. Now, did you see the previews? Anybody see the previews? About Jordan said something about, did she kill her mother?
I don't know.
Killing my wife? Yeah, there was a preview there.
I haven't
seen
them yet.
Real quick preview or something. Clyde said something. So I don't know. There's still more to that story.
I didn't see it yet.
Anna, did you talk about Clyde and Kate? They had some good scenes. I don't know if you saw them.
I'm going to run off, okay?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about them.
Oh,
hi,
there
Rose.
We go. Oh,
I'm
bye, Rose.
I'm going to run off. I got things to do for my birthday weekend, so.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Well, happy,
all right.
Happy early birthday. Bye-bye.
Happy birthday.
Talk to you all later.
All right.
Bye.
We talked a little bit about Clyde and Kate's scenes when they were at the pub and, you know, the fortune cookie.
Fortune
deal.
Cookie.
Cute.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing these two. I mean, I really enjoy watching them together.
And he's after her.
Oh, yeah. I love seeing a man pursue Kate, too, you know? Because, I mean, you know, he really has his sights set on her, and he's been very open about it. And I think it's sort of unnerved her a little bit, like, not sure how to take that. Like, okay. But he's definitely, boy, he can definitely play both sides of the fence, can't he? Like, he's evil one minute, and, like, he can be as charming as he possibly can the next. So, interesting. I don't know. But I like him together. Hopefully he's not playing Kingy. I mean, hopefully he's really into her. But I think they've got chemistry for sure. I just like for it to kind of really come on all, you know, full on. And the scenes with Marlena and Kate that we were talking about, those are really good scenes.
Kate and Sammy.
Kate and Chad are in together. I really like them. And before you came on, Marianne, I was saying I really love the chemistry between Sammy and Chad. I think there could be something there.
Yeah.
If you came back to the show. I definitely think there's something there.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be an interesting twist? She gets
that,
you know.
I like
come
that.
Back
I,
with,
I, I'm like,
cause now
I'm
she's going to be coming back. I heard, you know, that she's going to maybe be returning
I
after
she
leaves.
Back for some, yeah, I hope she comes
yeah.
back for at least some stints or something.
So that would be,
but
you
I
know,
think
get
that
the
would be
brother
really
there.
Yeah. I feel like tweeting her and saying something like, no, that would be an interesting combination.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's too soon for these jammies, but, you know.
The jammies are still, yeah. I still think it would have been nice if they got their happy ending, but I can see they were, it was a tragedy.
There was a lot of drama. There's a lot of drama.
The drama.
For a lot of great scenes. I hope Allie is nominated this year.
I don't understand why she never gets nominated.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't submit. I don't know if she even
sure
submits.
Sure
I don't know.
But boy, she sure has had the material this year, and she sure has. I mean, there is so much material. Both she and Lauren have had some great material this year. And I just think, you know, Sammy, when you look at the gamut of emotions and things that have happened from her, you know, vengeance to falling in love with EJ again and, you know, then mourning the loss. I mean, there's so much to choose from there that surely they could put together a reel that would be, you know, at least nominated.
Especially with EJ's death, I mean, she even said how she had to be, like, drained and it had to take her out of it. And she's like, you know, she did it without any makeup. You could tell there was no makeup there, you know. And, she was like, eyes were all puffy and it's the crying and the sobbing. And, she did a wonderful job.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was feeling for, I mean, she made you feel for her in the, you know, and especially if you're a jammy fan, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, we have some callers. Actually, we have quite a few.
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna bring someone.
Oh, yeah, I can't stay real long, but...
Hi, Eric, there's 501.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Karen.
Hey,
how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, babies, how you doing?
Good. Glad to hear
how are you?
We're anxious to hear what you think.
I'm doing okay. It's been a rough week for me, but I'm okay.
Wow. Hope it gets better.
Yes, it will. And then, I mean, the whole EJ and Sammy stuff, I was a wreck, to be honest with you. Allison Sweeney and EJ, I mean, me and James Scott absolutely kicked everybody's ass this week and last week, too, with those scenes. I thought they were absolutely extraordinary. There's a little bit of intrigue with Kristen and that syringe. You know, it's kind of interesting as to why that would happen if he was quote unquote dead per se. There's a lot of very interesting scenarios there. You know, for one, a part of me thinks about Susan because I remember her. I remember Susan saying that she's not afraid of Kristen or Stefano, and that I've beat you before, and I will beat you again, and I will find some way to help EJ even with me not being here. So that registers in my mind. And then two, a part of me, Rafe's reaction, facial reactions was pretty interesting, I think, because, a part of me believes, or would like to think that he and EJ is working together. There's a lot of interesting variables there. So you can tell definitely that the door is open at some sort. Someone had a question about how did Paige get into JJ's room? Well, when JJ came into the house, he didn't close the front door all the way.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he didn't lock it.
Well, it didn't close or something.
It didn't
close, so it was easy for her to walk in there. You know what? Teresa is something else. She is something else. She's not afraid of Krista as much as she's afraid of her secret getting out.
Which Kristen is going to find out pretty soon. I saw previews for that too.
Well, you know, and that's interesting because, Kristen had, I mean, she had a conversation with John. You know, Teresa did this to you, mm-hmm. and yet you didn't rat her out because you figure it's better for Brady to be with Teresa than with me. She didn't say that word for word, but you know, that's what she was getting at. So I thought that was interesting. And I love Aiden and Hope and that little Sierra is something else. Oh my God. She's something else. Johnny, all the kids really are something else. My hope is that days will be around long enough for those characters to kind of grow up in a sense, to kind of see how they become. It's really interesting. I must say, and I like. There's more juice for for Jordan and Chad. I thought that was really interesting dynamic. I really liked them a lot better. I could tolerate her now. She's not as boring. With Chad, isn't that interesting? Let's see. I actually like Kristen with Daniel too. That's really interesting because Daniel can handle her. He's not as weak as Brady. I don't know. That's really interesting dynamic is all I can really say about that. Overall, it was a really good week for days, my prayer is that I hope and pray that they receive their reward because those scenes were absolutely breathtaking. It was hard to take. It was hard to watch. And then listening to Allison Sweeney say, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you," so many times. I mean, I'm like, wow. I mean, this, she is tearing it up. And I really felt for her. I felt like I was there.
This week was just so flippant emotional.
Yeah, I was a wreck. I was like, oh my God. My mom was like, "What you crying for?" Only if you knew. She said, "Well, you know, you realize that this is just, you know, it's a show, right?" I'm like, "You just don't understand right now." You just don't understand. But it was something else. It was really something else.
Yeah. I'm going to bring another caller on. We have a nice list of people. Area code 703.
Hi, this is Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Jamie.
Hi, so what did you think of all the flashbacks this week?
Oh, that's a good topic.
Like the tango, the Eugene Lee tango, and Sammy meeting in EJ and the towel.
Love it.
Yeah, I forgot a lot of it. I forgot all about the tango, yeah.
Yeah, that's the part that I cried at the most, for all the flashbacks.
Yeah.
You know, the one flashback we really didn't...
Yeah.
You know, the one flashback that they didn't show that I kind of hoped that they would have was the one from the disaster, because that kind of is what shifted their relationship to the next level. They didn't show that. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, true. But they did show a lot of good flashbacks. Some of them were funny because Sammy was mocking EJ about making a clicking noise or something.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that scene originally.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't remember seeing that originally, too, but that was hilarious from the flashback. And then Paige was annoying me as well on Friday because you mentioned her in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just...
She's acting like stalker kind of now.
Well, she's acting desperate. I mean, it's just so weird. And I'm just concerned that she's a pre-med student and she didn't know she was supposed to take birth control before. Have sex. That's weird. I didn't know
you
get that.
And not only did she go into the house that with the door open, but she went upstairs, started taking her clothes off, and then jumped into bed while JJ was asleep. Like, who does that? That's just creepy. Like, I can imagine someone like Kristen or Therese doing that, but I can't imagine Paige. She's supposed to be the goody goody one.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of surprised, too, that Mary Beth kept her mouth shut. So, like, if she squeals to Eve that Paige is on birth control, that's just the worst teenage friend ever. And I'm surprised she kept it to herself.
Nicole had me crying as well when she was yelling at Eric that he couldn't forgive her, but he could forgive everybody. So.
Oh, yeah, that really needs to be talked about. That was just Kristen saw Eric, Nicole, and Daniel on the top. So Kristen basically decides she's going to push Nicole the buttons. So she's like all over Daniel and talking about acting like they're best friends and they're a big team and they're part of the team that saved John but not Nicole, and when Nicole wasn't part of the team, and they had to take Nicole out of the pump as she was about ready to rip Kristen's hair out. They should have just let her do it. But
So
Kristen was in the pub along with Eric and she's being all touchy feely with him, and he said he forgave her because he also forgave EJ. And but then he tells Nicole later, you know, I don't forgive you, I hate you. And it's like,
yeah,
no. It's just,
really?
I mean, Kristen's not sorry. EJ wasn't sorry. Nicole was actually truly sorry. And when Nicole found the evidence, Eric already chose her too. So, I mean, just the past 6 months of Eric, he's just, I lost my crush on him. I mean, it just, he's just being a really judgmental jerk. And I just, it just makes no sense at all.
I
forgive everybody but Nicole.
Yeah, I can't believe how he can forgive Kristen, but he can't forgive Nicole.
Yeah,
no one helps Kristen. Like, yeah. Or EJ. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I kind of understand how Eric feels, though, because, I mean, when you think about it, it's expected from Kristen, but not from somebody that you love.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can understand that aspect, but, you know, I think he hates the way that he is treating her. He wants to love her, but he doesn't trust her. And so I think it's because of that particular reason right there is the reason why he won't commit himself to her, because he does love her, and he wants her, you know. And I think it's the battle between.
But the thing is, though, Eric was a priest, so he should be able to forgive her. So that's what he's supposed to do. So.
I'm searching. I didn't catch. I couldn't hear you.
Well, I said Eric's priest. He was a priest. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to forgive people.
I know. Just odd who he's choosing to forgive. I just don't get that. I'm going to put on area code 770.
Hi, Derek. It's Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Angela.
Hey.
Good.
Hey, boo.
It's good to talk to everybody. I think I've made it through all of the episodes since EJ's death, and I agree with what Kenneth is saying. I think, you know, it was stellar for Allison Sweeney. I also agree, though, with Carrie, that I thought that just the shooting and the randomness of that whole thing with Clyde and the henchmen, it just was, I don't know, it just seemed very sloppy. I don't know. That part of it just didn't seem really
maybe
good.
Maybe it was like a murder mystery or something that would have been better.
Yeah, I didn't like him with his face, you know, in the grant with it in the dirt and stuff. But again, of course, I didn't want to see EJ die. But I also, I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen his death, the death scene of Ethan Cambius on All My Children that James Scott played. But that's kind of interesting if you go back and you look at the death scene that he did. I think it was with Terry Ivins, which was his love interest at the time. Certainly James has come a long way in his acting since then, but it was also, I thought, very reminiscent of that scene. It was really sweet, though. You know, all of his words were great, and Melissa Sammons did a great job. And you know, she's joined Twitter, which has been really nice. So you know, he did say you know that it had been worth everything. And So I think that it was, all of that was very touching. I just think, I just agree with Carrie that just the death itself was, I just thought, kind of sloppy. Also, I do think they have to be doing this to at least kind of keep us wondering for the next 2 weeks. The fact that Rafe and Abe are the two that come upon the scene out of anyone, and I didn't think, I know Rose was saying that she felt like they really worked on EJ for a long time. I didn't think it looked that way at all. And they even just said, because the only thing we could really tell was when Rafe went over and just told them to be quiet, because they said, we're going to go ahead and call it. And he said, his wife is standing right there. But I don't know. I think Allison played, being in denial when somebody dies, that you love, mm-hmm. suddenly or not so suddenly, a lot of times you go into denial. So I thought all of that was played really well. But I think it did leave, I think it was odd enough that it left a lot of questions. If you go back to, I think y'all talked about this a week or two ago. I'm not sure that I was on the call, but when Susan came, I had really not looked all that forward to Susan showing up with EJ. I just didn't know how that was really going to play, but it was, I just loved it. I thought it was excellent. And she did talk about, how she had outsmarted both Stefano and Kristen at some time in the past. In that same episode, James talked to Sammy about the fact, not James, but EJ talked to Sammy about the fact that he still had his aliases and he still had a lot of money hidden. And I think we still haven't really resolved exactly what Victor had to do with, going ahead and taking over those two companies. And that could actually, if they were actually to go off for their happy ever after, that could have also, if it was planned, then it could also be helping them so that they would have the money to go and live happily ever after for whatever period of time. But I think they left enough open that I'm not 100% convinced that there's no happily ever after. Today, I did not see it on Facebook. I saw this on Twitter and then went to a link, but I think it's the Facebook for Allison Sweeney. Maybe it's for days. Wherever she's been doing her countdown of all of her top moments, she did her top safe moments, she did her top Lumi moments, and she saved Ajami for the last. And so today was the last Ajami moment, her most favorite one. And I thought that was beautifully written, what she said. And that made it sound a little bit like it was only going to be the what if, scenario. But I just think, Melissa Sammons did a great job. They went back and really pulled a lot of the things that were said in some of the key episodes and also in the letters. Both the episodes when they wrote the letters when Sammy was in prison and then EJ wrote to her, they really pulled a lot from that. And those were both beautiful too. So I think overall they did a beautiful job. I agree with everybody. If they don't give Allison Sweeney a nomination for this mm-hmm. year, then she's never going to get one, because I think she did a great job. And the kids are all gone. Even, I know there was a question about Allie. If you look on Jason 47 on his website, he's slowly but surely been kind of doing montages for everybody that's leaving, and they have done one for the twin girls that played Allie. So, they're definitely not just Griffin and Aaron, who play Johnny, are going, but she's going to. And I don't know what, there's not much to say with the young girl. They've switched Sydney so many times. I don't know, this girl's probably only been on a couple of episodes. So, but I think all of the children are definitely going. And then I thought it was interesting that the spoiler for next week was Will saying that, he's going to get some new opportunity. I really feel like they've kind of written Will and Sonny and baby Ari into a corner. And once you have EJ and Sammy and that whole group out, I just wonder what they're going to do with him for right now. So I think that'll be interesting to see if he changes careers or if he moves or anything like that. So I thought that was interesting. And talking about children, too, that they posted a precious picture, and it was an older picture. It wasn't taken really recently, of James Scott and Lauren Bowles, who plays Sierra. And it was such a cute photo, and I think I'm sure it was on Twitter first. That was precious, and then a lot of people. And Jimmy, maybe you had tweeted this. I can't remember, but somebody had tweeted it and said, "She looks like a Daenerys. She would have been so good if she was a Daenerys." And it really would have been. It's very cute. And then I had a question that I just thought was interesting. Nicholas Bechtel, who plays Nicholas Cassadine's little boy, he's so cute on General Hospital. You know, he had posted a picture of he and James, and had said something like that, whatever he had said, because he was he pound EJ DeMira and so forth, and he had said when I was on that other show, and so I was just kept trying to figure out who did he play, unless he was Baby Stefano, you know, one of the young Stefanos, one in the Santine story. Does anyone know when he was on Days? I've looked on the IMDb and I can't find anything.
Yeah, I was seeing that photo of
him. I don't
remember
when he was either. Mm-hmm. I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah, I looked that up. I can't find any reference to it, but it was. He had a great picture of he and James Scott. And
that could have been when, you know, maybe in one of those flashback things or when.
Yeah,
you know,
well, it's during the Santine era, because they have, like, Sean as a child and Stefano as a child. But that was. But I also keep thinking how long ago that was, because that would have had to have at least
been like
2007. He wouldn't have been old enough. So anyway, so that was just kind of an interesting little picture, I thought, to see he and James in that picture together. And that was cute, because I can't figure out who in the world – where he was, and he's not listed. It's not on his resume on IMDb at all. But
maybe it's only a brief one episode thing.
And the other thing, and Jamie, you and I may have tweeted about this week. I can't remember, but I think that it's interesting that, you know, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday is supposed to be the day that Sammy gets some life changing news and so forth. And I still feel like it's just kind of all of a reasoning of, you know, how she's going to leave. They also showed this week, you know, pictures of the older actor. He's got to at least be in his 50s, I think. Looks vaguely familiar as a character actor, just in prime time, who is going to come on as in the short term role as Mandrake. And so. And he's supposed to be somehow involved, I think, at the very end of the month. So that means when Sammy leaves, however Sammy leaves, if she's going to witness protection, you know, and maybe she'll secretly get, of course, in my happily ever after, then she'll get to reunite with EJ. The other thing I thought about with the syringe thing and Kristen, and is I still keep hinting that there's some other big story yet to come or surprise to come between Kristen and Daniel. And so, and you know, I've seen all the people asking Sean Christian questions about, is he going to go to the dark side at all? And since you know, Eileen Davidson is leaving, I think, you know, she's almost gone, I think, around the first week of November again for at least a while, that I wondered if maybe she is going to somehow use Daniel with, you know, she's got had the formula to bring John out of the coma, that maybe she's, you know, she's also got a whole bevy of, you know, magic potions, and maybe then, you know, in heavens we know that Daniel has certainly brought people back to life before with an unknown understanding, and he would do it quietly too. So I think I'm hoping that maybe some of that'll play into the October 30th episode when everyone leaves, because I know that character actor is going to help to take her off wherever she's going to go, wherever Allison or and Sammy are going to go and with the kids. But I think overall,
Angela, I like the flashbacks this week.
Yeah. Okay. Overall, I said they've done a good job, like, except for the actual killing of EJ. I don't think that was very good, but I thought everything else was good. And then I guess we'll see. I said I haven't watched anything live in quite a while. Like I said, I was, because I was just sitting so sad. So I just had to really kind of get myself prepared to sit down and watch some of it. But I also think, you know, things that, one or two things that I had on my mind the last couple of weeks is that, you know, odd statements that have been made that, you know, you kind of wonder, are these hints, are these little anvils for the future? One being all this discussion of Jack and the determination of Eve wanting to make sure that Paige and JJ aren't together and so forth, you know, leads me, I think we all thought about this at the very beginning when they first brought the Eve character back on, is that maybe Paige is really an offspring of Jack. You know, and that would certainly be a very standard Horton story, since they did that years ago with Tommy Horton, you know, and Marie, you know, that they fell in love and then realized that they were brother and sister. So that to me could be a good reason why.
But why wouldn't you just tell Paige that, though?
How would you do what?
Why wouldn't Eve just tell Paige that Jack's her father?
I don't know, because it's obviously been, I mean, there's obviously been, you know, it's been a strange relationship, dysfunctional mother-daughter relationship all along. I don't know. And maybe she won't. I don't know. But I think that, you know, I think all these almost, you know, encounters that they keep showing with JJ and Paige, I just, like I said, to me, it just kind of lends itself that they've talked so much about the situation with Jack and bringing him up again, and we know that he's not really coming back to the show. I think we're all pretty set in knowing that. So there has to be a reason why they keep mentioning him. And I think the fact that they've mentioned a lot with Kate, and I cannot remember the character's name now, but whoever Chad's mother was supposed to be, you know, years ago, you know, they brought her up and kind of rehashed. And they could have been just doing that to reset the story with Billy Flynn in the role as Chad. But I think that also, you know, still kind of makes you think, well, maybe Kate really is his child, his mother. I mean, I know she's had so many children, but she didn't have that many children on air right now. And that would be kind of an interesting twist.
So, how would that be Kate and Stefano's child, though?
Yeah, he could. Couldn't he?
Well, because
it was supposed to be.
They have only been together for a few years.
No, I mean, no. Kate worked with his mother as a prostitute. Both of them worked for Stefano.
Yeah, years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it could. I mean, I think they alluded, you know, they left that as a question years ago. They did a whole bunch of things that they, with the storyline that they just dropped. They had a whole bunch of, you know, scenes with Kate with all this blood on her and so forth, and they never went. That was a storyline that just dropped. They never went back to it. There was some huge secret about Chad's, you know, the relationship with Chad's mother and so forth, and we never did see that. It was dropped. That may have been back during the Higley days, but anyway, like I said, I think, I hope the best for the show after it was over. I saw obviously there was a whole bunch of folks out there trying to start rumors today that they maybe were going to try to hire Michael Muni to come back as the new EJ. I don't think that's occurring. I don't think anybody's going to come back as EJ. I don't think James Scott's coming back, but I can't. I mean, but that would also be, you know, if they were going to have plastic surgery and change him and so forth, obviously that would allow them to bring back someone that was not British. But I don't think that Michael Muni got on Twitter after that and talked about the four different movies he was doing over the next few months and what he's doing. So I just don't see it. Like I said, I don't think Days could afford it, nor would they want all the bad publicity that would always linger with Michael Muni. So anyway, but I thought that was interesting today that somebody obviously planted that little rumor. And sometimes Days does that. Days will, you know, with different people, either through a, you know, article in a magazine or different avenues, you know, float something to see, you know, if people would want that. Because they've got to be concerned about not having EJ and Sammy on the show after the end of October. I think it's still going to be pretty tough for them. But anyway, like I said, I think overall they've done a good job. I'm anxious to see. I think I'm going to try to watch it or watch Tuesday or Wednesday's episode next week with whatever revelation comes to Sammy. Y'all were saying she's going to get arrested, and I know Kate was warning her, and I guess next week she and Lucas come and warn Sammy again about something, and then I guess somebody was saying she gets arrested. I didn't know that part. And then we've got, you know, the final exit on the 30th, and Melissa Sammons wrote that episode too. So really, Melissa wrote all of the episodes that were really very EJ and Sammy centric, I think. So I think, and they were all excellent, and that's very unusual for them to give all those episodes to, you know, one writer. But I really appreciate that they did that. I think that was nice for all of us.
It's clear that she has, whether she's an Jamie fan herself or if she just really gets it or followed the story all that time.
Well, I saw on Twitter,
I don't know, but
just learned the history of.
What's that?
She didn't watch Dave before. She just learned the history of him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jamie's right. People asked her questions about that, and she said no, she didn't
want
some
insight, yeah.
So, I mean, she wrote a lot of beautiful love stories. I think she wrote, like, more romantic stories, like on Ezreal Turns. Again, I didn't watch a lot of it. But I think that's kind of probably her purview. But I think, you know, the other thing she said specifically to Allison on Twitter this week was that, you remember one of the best scenes, and I think it may have been one of the top EJ Sammy moments that Allison listed earlier in the week in her countdown, was the one where she gave, you know, I think January of 2013, you know, when she told EJ she truly loved him and that she was going to be there no matter what.
Oh, yeah, that was
what,
also
you know,
one of the flashbacks, too.
Right. And Melissa, that was like one of the first or second episodes, I guess, that Melissa got to write. And so she was saying that she was apologizing because she said had she been there another month or two, she could have made it even better than it was. And, of course, we all, you know, just about died and thought it was such a wonderful thing, you know, exactly as it was. I wouldn't have wanted her to change anything. But I think that says a lot. I wish the Culletons would get on Twitter.
I know.
As well. Because
I think
right now Melissa's getting a lot of praise. But the Culletons have done a tremendous job too.
Oh yeah,
writing the Demiras all along, and I would not want them to be overlooked. So anyway, I think it was great, and I wish Dave's the best. I'm really, like I said, I don't know quite what their plans are next. You know, as far as all the new characters, and obviously they're bringing another character on from One Life to Live. I can't think of who it is though. So, I know Melissa Archer, I think, starts in December, but there's another too. I think it's a male character from One Life to Live fame that's coming over. So that will help. Maybe they'll pick up some audience from One Life to Live. Yeah. But like I said, if anybody hears or can figure out when Nicholas Bechtel or whatever was on Dave, I'm curious to know when that picture was taken because I thought it was precious.
Yeah, I'll look
what
it up.
What was that?
The picture, Nicholas Bechtel, who plays the Nicholas Cassadine's son.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, and in the picture that he had with he and James, and he said it was when he was on the other show, Dave, and then, of course, he did Pound EJ De Niro. So I couldn't find any reference or remember anything as to when he was ever on Days, because like what Marianne or Jamie said earlier, that had to have been like 2007 or 2008
or a
when
flashback, they
were doing the
Kathleen
story.
Sort of
so that
flashback,
was
yeah.
quite
he'd have been
time.
One.
So anyway,
yeah,
so that's good.
Young.
And I think General Hospital is on fire. It's really doing well. I think, like I said, I'm really enjoying it, and so we'll just have to wait and see. But for EJ to come back onto another show, then that would require Mr. Corday having sold the character of EJ, and I doubt very seriously he's going to sell that because that's probably one of the more valuable characters for Days overall, and I think it'll be interesting to see CBS. If you notice this week, CBS announced that they're going to do sort of an on-demand pay situation, kind of like Hulu Plus, where they'll have all the on-demand of all the classic CBS shows or shows that they owned at some point, like Friends. And potentially, since they're doing The Doctors, NBC has sold the rights to The Doctors to the Retro Channel. I think it would be a good option for them to actually license out some of the different soaps. So if NBC were to do that, I think they obviously would have, because that's one of the few days, is one of the few shows that truly has all of the episodes. For years, the shows re-recorded over the same tapes. So Days is one of the very few, if not the only one, that has all of the original episodes intact. So
I could see a real market for that. I could totally
see
a market for
that. I think that, to me, that would be Core Days pension fund. That would be the thing to do, is to sell the whole thing. But
can you,
I would
like
love for
sell
him to
the rights to the episodes to like a Hulu Plus or something, or
yeah, just like they're doing now. They're the Doctors. I don't know if you ever watched the Doctors.
Oh yeah, back in the day. Yeah.
They're running that on. I don't have the channel here where I am, but there's a Retro Channel, and they're open. It's based out of Chattanooga, but they're from 12 to 1. They're running. And that was always a 30-minute show. I posted some interviews about the Doctors from like 1975 that is still out on my timeline, somewhere around September 27th, 29th. It's still out there with a little bit about stuff about executive producer. With back when Tom Snyder was had the Tamara Show, and he interviewed, and they actually spent time talking about soap operas. It was really kind of interesting. I think that's good. I remembered all that. Yeah, and I was a little girl then, but I remember Althea Davis and Nick Davis and, the Randolphs and all that stuff. So I think that's a lucrative thing, whatever Corday is
supposed to do. The fact that Corday has all those tapes, that is huge.
That is absolutely huge.
I mean, he's sitting on a gold mine, because...
When
SoapNet ran the GH 50th, and they spent a couple weekends showing the old retro shows. I mean, at that point, I hadn't watched GH since the 80s, except for when Ian came back to as Duke. And I sat there and I watched. I'm ashamed to say how many hours of General Hospital I watched those two weekends, but it's like I was just mesmerized by it, Because there were things that they showed that I had not watched because I'd, stopped watching after a while. But there were things that predated the time that I watched that just, filled in the gaps. But there were a lot of actors that I knew and stuff like that. So, I mean, just the whole nostalgia thing. I mean, there's really a need for that, I think. There's really a market for that, I guess, is okay.
I think it is. And there's so few, if any. And like I said, there just are very few that have all of the episodes. And Days would. And the other thing I don't know what's going on with this. I think probably within another 6 to 9 months we'll have a much better picture. I'm sure everybody has seen all of the changes that are being made throughout Time Warner and CNN. Which of course is news, but there's really more to it than all of that. There's a lot of channels and things that we're watching now, as a part of cable that are going to start offering themselves as kind of like the CBS on demand or like a Hulu Plus on demand. And I would guess that Comcast is probably going to be, could potentially be doing that same model, because it looks like they're all positioning themselves to do some things. HBO has announced that they're going to have where you don't have, you don't have to have cable. You can basically just subscribe directly for HBO, and they're going to have HBO Classics, which is likely going to be stuff like that's on Turner Classic Movies now. That would be something that would be, I don't pay for HBO right now, but if they had all the classic shows and regular movies and so forth, and that was a whole offering for $8 or $9 a month, I might pay for that. So I guess I think all of the channels, all the networks are going to, you know, they're trying to find different ways. And I mean, I could see Corday selling that to the highest bidder, whoever wanted it, even if it wasn't NBC. But I don't know that that'll happen. But I think it's going to be interesting to see all these transitions that a lot of the shows are doing right now on the network.
But the only problem with Dej putting on classic episodes is that people would stop watching the current one and start watching the classic one.
Well, I think the goal for Corday, if you hear anything that he says through any of these interviews, they are concerned about nothing but hitting 50. And now he, in whatever interview, and again, didn't take what that interview very seriously, but, you know, the focus is right now, yeah, they're 8 months ahead. The further they get ahead, till they get finished, till they get to a point, you know, at the end of 2015, first spring of 2016, and then it goes away, then he's got his 50 years of the show, you know, to sell or license out however he wants to. And I think that's really the big focus. I think that's the only real financial reason why they could possibly be filming 8 months in advance and doing some of the silly stuff that they're doing. Because there's no way, you know, there's no way that they're going to know what stories are going to fly and which ones are not. And we've all suffered through some pretty miserable stories in the last couple of years when they, you know, things that didn't work and that we were stuck with another 6 months of it. And I think, but financially, I don't see how that doesn't seem to be a big, them being so, filming so far ahead is not a big advantage for any of the other shows other than maybe a month or two at the most. But to me, it would be a financial advantage for Corday Productions because that way, even if they were canceled, whatever happened, they've already filmed it. If they've got stuff, they have product in the can and somebody has licensed it, those people are going to end up with keeping it. They'll have to pay for it, and he'll still, you know, have money at the end. Because, I mean, obviously this is going to be, you know, his family's retirement and so forth.
I know,
forth.
But
so,
I just think Ken Corday shouldn't think like that. Like, he should strive to be the viewers watching him. Not just
he probably shouldn't, but I really see it. I really tried every which way but least to really think of a positive thing for him. But I think it's positive from a business perspective, you know, for his family to be, and, you know, and he'll have one of the only shows, you know, 50 years of a show in total, that, you know, a lot of people grew up on. And, you know, and timing's important. You know, you don't want to go on with the show 60 or 70 years because then, I mean, my grandmother has passed on who started watching the show. My mom has passed on who watched the show. So, you know, you're going to start losing generations. So you want to make sure that there's still people that are really active involved with the show that if he were to sell it. I'm not saying he's going to, but I do think that all of television is really changing, and I think more what we see with Comcast, I mean, with CBS and HBO and some of these others that are all going to start their own subscriptions, Comcast is sure to do something similar, or that Ken Corday with his new company or whatever could create his own little Prospect Park, hopefully more successful than that was, but, you know, and make some money off of it. I don't know, but I don't know how it's an advantage to them. The ratings are not good. So, you know, like I said, I think.
Were the ratings up or down this week?
Yeah, they're down a little bit, not bad. I think they got a jump with EJ's death and so forth, but they're not great, and they're getting further and further behind General Hospital in all of the demographics. So, Young and the Restless is gained. So I don't see that getting better. And I mean, it's a huge gamble when you think that 3 months from now, almost all the characters will be different or have not been on the scene for a long time. That's a big risk. And he'll have 8 months of it. So if people don't like it and it's 8 months of it, then he's almost, you know, he's only 4 or 5 months away from finishing the full 50 episodes. So anyway, I maybe like I said, I know Kenneth said I was cynical, so that may be me being cynical.
Yeah, it's just sad that 50th anniversary can't be a high note. It has to be all new characters. And
I'm sure they'll have some people come back, but I don't. But I just, I don't think they're focused on that so much right now. I think they're just focused. They would have to be focused on the fact that they're completely revamping the show again. They've got to be worried and focused on that, I would think, because 50th anniversary will be here and they'll have time. Just like somebody mentioned about Alice Horton's death, and why, you know, why was that not as good as, you know, even EJ's last 2 weeks? But yeah, they tried. I mean, they really you know, she passed away in February, and they planned until June to put that thing together.
Yeah, they did bring some people back. I remember that.
So. Yeah, they planned it. They planned it. Yeah. It just didn't come off very well. And so I think.
And of course, it was written by Dina Higley, so that didn't help either.
Yeah, that's a key piece of it right there. But anyway, I really enjoyed talking. I didn't want to take up all the time. I know y'all been talking for a long time, but it's always nice to hear everybody's voice. And Jamie, appreciate all your tweets lately.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Glad you called in, Angela.
Okay. Y'all take care.
Okay.
Hey.
Thanks. Bye-bye. 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 I'm actually going to have to bow out now myself. So I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, Anna. Yeah, I gotta go. Yeah, I gotta go too. I'm getting up early to go to my daughter's in Virginia. So
okay.
I get going.
Oh, I'm in Virginia. Which part of Virginia?
Winchester, the northern part of Virginia. She lives in Winchester.
Well, I'm gonna wrap things up. So good night, everybody. See you right next week. Thanks for everybody calling in. I really appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Thank you. We love you still, and see you guys next week.
Thanks, Kenneth. Good night.
All right.